It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia, and he's done it! There's the reply! Barry and Bahar's history made!
It's James Beattie. Oh, Belter!
Mane for the hat-trick!
Lifts it, and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush, and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number. Proud to be a part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 192. What a wonderful game of football we had on Sunday afternoon as a swan song to our season and indeed the Premier League. Very good way to go out. But the fact is, terrible season. Just the 24 points, 6 wins, 7 draws, 25 losses. That doesn't seem right. But yeah, 2 wins at home. Just too many poor decisions made by the ownership, poor transfer windows, sacking Ralph too late, I think, bringing in 2 managers that just weren't up to snuff. So down we go. But as I say, we did go down fighting this time. Joining me this week is the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton and Tim Bazance. Say hello, boys.
Hello.
Hello, boys.
Good. You guys sound... You sound in good spirits, and especially because it's like 6:30 in the morning in Chicago. I envy you, Tim.
Yeah, I'm surprised I'm up and awake on a holiday weekend at 6:30. But nonetheless, beautiful weather here, beautiful time going on in Chicago, and swan song for our funeral yesterday. So lots yes. Lots of excitement that we had.
And Kevin, how's the weather in your PO postcode?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's glorious. It's sunny Sussex by the sea. I'm enjoying it.
Good. And I'll be up there soon.
Yeah.
Anyway, fellas, let's just forget the rest of the season just for a second. And the yesterday's game, what game? And it's like Kev, you alluded to it a while ago, like the shackles would be off. It would be a dead rubber.
Yeah.
Both teams will go for it. And we saw an 8-goal thriller. So, yeah, what a game for the neutral. And for us.
Yeah, definitely. It's just that after a whole season of absolute misery at St. Mary's, It's just become so depressing that the thought of interrupting a bank holiday weekend to watch some absolutely dross football wasn't particularly enticing. So I unfortunately turned down the opportunities, but yeah, I'm kind of regretting that now.
Oh, so yeah.
A very enjoyable day.
Yeah, so I tried to get you to come along, and you were like, nah, I can't be bothered, to be honest. I don't
blame you. It was
so
anyway.
Yeah.
Well, by that point, but if I, you know, by the time you have to, when I was planning it, this the tickets went on sale, you know, weeks ago. I don't think any of us fancied it.
No, I didn't. Yeah, it was it was good. It was good to be there, good to be a part of it anyway. But yeah, right. OK, well, so we'll go straight into the ITN news then, chat.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Oh, nice.
You're a twat.
Lovely.
Yeah, OK, so ITN news. We're going to start with a club statement regarding Ruben Saez, and well, I mean, it's what we expected, but it's official now. He's gone. He's done. Do we have to say goodbye to him? I suppose goodbye and thanks. Is that
adios,
fair?
Adios.
Okay, we'll just say that. Yeah. So yeah, Southampton Football Club can confirm that is how conversations with men's first team manager Ruben Saez and decided that his contract will not be renewed when it expires at the end of the season. The club wants to place on record its thanks to Ruben for taking on the managerial position at a difficult time for the club and for giving his all as we attempted to stay in the Premier League. Again, Tim, are we happy to see him go? I mean, it's weird because the players that have been largely not performing well all season, and yet we give them a good send-off. I mean, even Elianusi had a good one yesterday, but we haven't really given Ruben Saez a good send-off, have we?
Yeah, well, goodbye and thank you.
Thanks.
Here's the thing is that you want the nice guys to succeed, and sometimes it's just not going to work out in the role, and you wish him well. And Ruben, from all accounts, was a top person working with the club and working with the players, and was well respected among all parties involved, and so that's great. But ultimately, soccer is a game of results, and results didn't show. And we are here sitting in 20th place talking about how we're going to, you know, deal with our transfer strategy.
Yeah, definitely. And like you say, he seems like a nice player. He does seem like a nice player. And all the players have said that they've enjoyed, you know, working with him, which is nice to hear. But I don't know, he just wasn't really up for the job, was he? Never really was. And we said it at the time that why get him in when you've got people like Jesse Marsh that are waiting to give that full-time contract. And also, Ruben Saez has said that he wants to manage in the Premier League. I don't really think I think if he wants to manage in a top flight, he's going to have to go back to Spain, really, isn't he? Or even somewhere else in Europe, because I don't think he's going to have anyone in the Premier League looking for him now.
Yeah, Andorran Premier League is ripe, I think, for Ruben. Probably is.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, big changes expected in the summer. Prowse and Lavia are the biggest ones. But we still don't really know for sure about that, do we? But one thing we are sure of is Theo. That's confirmed. I mean, where do you see him next season, Kev?
I mean, there must be a Premier League gig that he'd be game for. Luton, maybe?
Possibly. But I mean, the thing is, like, if he can't, I mean, do you think this was a decision for the club to let him go? Because if he's still Premier League quality, then surely we could use him in the Championship for another year. But if he still thinks he's ready for he can go to a Premier League team, I mean, then fair enough. Then it might have been his decision.
Yeah, I mean, his time with us is, he started off very well and he's ended very well. In the middle, there was that sort of gooey bit that we're not sure about.
Yeah.
But he's definitely showing this season that he can still do a job at this level. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Which begs the question, like, why isn't he, you know, trying to get us back up to the Championship? Because I'm sure he'd have a big part to play. I do think, though, Tim, that it's, I mean, with Ward-Prowse, he's on 100 grand a week, isn't he? And Theo Walcott's the second highest paid player on the payroll. Getting both of those out in the Championship, it kind of just says, look, we're moving on without those. So maybe it was a club's decision to say, look, we can't pay your wages next season, so maybe it might be good for you to go and try at another Premier League team that's going to pay you?
I think next year he'll be sitting for his coaching badges. So I think he's done.
Yeah. You don't think he's going to play?
No, I think he's done. I don't think there's a true opportunity that's going to be able to want. He might be wanted at some point in time, and I'm sure there's probably have been offers for him. I just don't think, though, that he's going to want to. I don't think so,
because his tweet that he put out saying that he didn't say he's retiring. He just said that, you know, he's moving on to the next part, and whether that's, I don't know. He's not going to go to another championship team, and like Kev said, is Luton on the table? I don't know. Is there a team like maybe Everton could take him back? I don't know. I just don't know where he's going to be. But I guess
Fulham.
Fulham. Yeah.
Okay, Brighton.
Go back to London. Brighton, yeah.
They like dried up players at Brighton, don't they?
More news then. Season ticket prices. I don't know if you've seen this, but they have been released for next season. There's a 10% drop, Kev. Not a lot, but I mean, if I'm being honest, I really didn't expect them to drop it at all. I thought they were going to keep it the same.
Yeah.
But they have dropped it. But still, we are going to be the most expensive season ticket in the Championship.
Yeah, more than Leeds and Leicester.
Yeah. Yeah, the most expensive in the Championship. And I don't know, do you think it's a fair drop with the 10%?
I mean, maybe see what the attendances are like. But I don't know how much to teams normally cut ticket prices when they get relegated.
Well,
some of them don't.
I'm talking like when Newcastle got relegated, they dropped their season tickets by 33%. And the size of Newcastle compared to us, I mean, it's vast, isn't it, really? So, but then again, you know, they're doing this payment plan and they're making sure that the people that are renewing, they are getting that 10% discount. But then, yeah, which I guess we'll just have to see if the season ticket waiting list at all is gone up. I don't think it will. I think there's going to be a massive drop in that, but still 10%. I think my ticket is going to cost me £40 less, but I was thinking about moving next season. And if I was to move, I'd have to pay for a new season ticket price. So I wouldn't get that drop. So I think I might just stay where I am just so I can get that 10%.
So that discount, is it only for renewals?
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a drop if you do. I mean, if you were to get a season ticket last year, brand new, you'd still be paying about £20 less next season for a brand new one. But I want to keep my whole 10% and go for that and keep my seat as it is. I like my seat. I like the people around me. Which we'll get to in a bit, I'm sure, because there's news on that. I was looking at the bookies. Tim, I know you're not a betting man, but I was just looking to see where, you know, automatic promotion, where they're giving the favourites. Apparently, we're joint favourites to gain promotion, and we're joint with Borough. Would you say that's a fair assessment, Tim?
Did you look right after Leicester and Leeds?
This was before Leicester and Leeds.
Okay, so this is, yeah, so that makes sense, because any club that gets relegated from the Premier League should be at minimum expected to finish in a playoff spot or above. Mm. So yes, I think it's correct. I think it's also just based purely on the fact that we were in the Premier League, so we have the resources and players who have been here, and they're not counting on a significant amount of turnover comparatively to, you know, you're not going to get like a Preston North End or a Bristol City just automatically come on up. So it makes sense that we would be compared to any of the other teams there.
Middlesbrough being up there, like Michael Carrick, if he stays on, he's done a bloody good job with them. It's it'd be interesting to see what they do in the summer as well. Also, just a reminder, there's the fixture release date is on Thursday, the 22nd of June. That's at 9 a.m. So mark that in your calendar. And as I said before, the start of the Championship is Saturday, the 5th of August. But there will likely be a live game on the Friday, the 4th. So hopefully that's us. Kev, this is kind of like your favourite part is the transfer news and all this salacious rumours that come in. Have you heard any, Kev, any potential movement? Because all I'm hearing whenever I look at transfer news, it's all, oh, if Russell Martin comes in, he's going to, you know, pilfer players from Swansea. Is that what you're getting as well?
Yeah, just which players from Swansea do we fancy, and which players are we going to be losing? I think those are
You just mean plug the gap, yeah? So we lose those players, we need to plug the gap with Swansea players.
Yeah, we need to see, you know, what ballast we're going to get rid of and what superstars are going to be leaving, which players we can keep hold of, which positions need to be filled, and then the transfer rumours. But I haven't seen anything enough to warrant firing up the transfer roundabout again just yet.
No, not just yet. Mainly departures, isn't it? But and another one that I've seen is Bournemouth have said that they would like to take Jack fucking Stevens on a permanent. Why wouldn't Jack Stevens want to stay in the Premier League? I mean, if Bournemouth love him, he's loving his time there. Tim, that seems like a match made in heaven right there, yeah?
Yeah, I think he likes the Pebble Beach that's down there.
It's sandy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that could. Yeah, I think he could do well there. Bournemouth stay there, and I don't know. I'd like to think that he's got more in his tank at Saints. I'd like to see him come back. But then again,
Has he been getting how many minutes has he been getting in there? Because every time I've seen Bournemouth play, that he hasn't been playing for them.
No, I haven't. I always check up on him whenever we do our loan watch. But then when I looked at the end of the season at all our loanees that have gone out. And I saw Jack Stevens' stats, and I thought, my God, he has played quite a lot of games. And if I just, I'll pull it up right now, if you wish. He had 15 games, and he had 13 starts. That seems like quite a lot. So that was like 1,173 minutes. So that's quite a lot. It seems to be more than what I thought he was getting.
That sounds about right. But, if they want him, I guess they're welcome to him.
Really? You don't want to see him back?
I just think we've got so many players, so many defenders. If we lose half of our centre backs, we'll still have more than enough to survive in the championship.
Well, I mean, I do think that you've got to look at Bela Kotchap going, you've got to look at Salisu going also. So there is people that we do need to plug that gap. I still don't know about Bednarek, whether he feels he could be in the Premier League still. I'd like to keep Bednarek and use him as our number one centre back, and I just think with Jack Stevens as well, it's experience that we don't have back there, and someone that's used to playing with Saints. So I just think it's a good opportunity to keep him, especially as we don't know who's going, do we? That's the thing.
Yeah, this is exactly it, and we don't know who's on what wages and what we can afford.
Yeah, exactly. Parachute payments are just going to pay that. That's it. I have heard one rumour of an incoming Fulham goalkeeper, George Pickens. He's on the agenda. He's been tracked by a number of clubs. I think Forest have been interested as well. So, again, the lure of a Premier League team is probably going to take that. But, yeah, he's into his final year of his Fulham contract. So if they do sign him, I guess he'd probably go out on loan. And then they probably just give Bazunu another go in the championship, is what I think. And then we've still got Mateus List as well.
Yeah, goalkeepers, another one. No, come on.
Yeah, but Willy Caballero and Alex McCarthy are probably going to be shown the door.
Maybe. I mean, how much are we looking to shell out for him?
I don't know. Well, I mean, he's on his final year, so it's whatever Fulham think he's worth. If they might even give him another contract and then let him go out on loan. I don't know, but he's one to look at. There's a number of Premier League clubs looking at him. Maybe he'll get some minutes at Saints though, and that might be what he wants.
Yeah, just bode well for Bazunu if that's the case then.
No, we need a cup keeper, don't we? Right, okay, well, we'll go straight into the Liverpool game then. Lots to discuss on this. As I say, an entertaining 4-4 at St Mary's in the sunshine for what will be our last Premier League game for at least another season anyway. Liverpool took a very quick and comfortable 2-0 lead with goals from Diogo Jota and Roberto Firmino. 14 minutes, that was. Captain James Ward-Prowse got one back 5 minutes later. Then, unbelievably, a double from Sulemana, followed by Adam Armstrong from the bench to give us a 4-2 lead. But within 10 minutes, it was 4-4 with another goal from Jota and Cody Gakpo. So, yeah. Let's go over this. So I want to start by saying, though, that there was drama in the stands. And I don't know if you saw this because it was all kicking off. The not so secret Liverpool fans sitting in the home end. Did you see any of this?
No.
Behind the goal, there was a group of lads. And as soon as Jota scored and made it 1-0, one of the kids, only I say kid, he was barely a teenager. He must have been about 13, 14. He stands up and he's waving his Liverpool flag. No, not a flag, a scarf. You go a goal down and you see someone stand up and do that, then it all kicks off, right? And I was one of them as well, and just saying that, you know, get him out, chuck him out, which they did eventually. But yeah, it's a problem that's been happening. It's been going on all season, hasn't it? Just the
was he in the chapel?
Yeah, he was behind the
goal. I'd like to see him try that at the North.
Yeah, he probably didn't even realise what he thought. He didn't think it was probably a bad thing. But yeah, they got shown their marching orders as well. Bad start to the game, but yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Kev, there was one change from that Brighton defeat. That was Sulemana for Aribo. And that seemed to do the trick, didn't it?
Yeah, certainly did. Imagine if Aribo was part of this match. I don't think we would have been looking at the same result.
No, definitely not. But yeah, it didn't take long for Liverpool to take the lead. It took 10 minutes, and I was fuming after that because it's the same shit again. Like when we went at Brighton, and the same thing happens then, where they just don't seem to learn from their mistakes. And it just made me so, so angry because all this back passing and putting ourselves in trouble, and then, you know, you can see the goal like that. It's just, that can't happen at any level.
Yeah, we've seen it time and time again this season, and it is playing out from the back that's the problem, isn't it?
Why do you keep doing it?
I don't know. It was so sloppy. I mean, maybe I'm kind of thankful that it was Lapia giving away that first goal, because maybe there's a little bit less interest in him now. Maybe keep hold of him.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. But yeah, it was just the same shit again. And then Tim, 4 minutes later, Firmino makes it two. The defence just kind of like parted for him, and Lianco doing, well, God knows,
what, is he
God
doing
knows what he was doing. Yeah, I don't know. Was he breakdancing? I don't know.
Breakdancing.
But yeah, it's just, again, more defensive woes.
Yeah, I mean, we just looked like shit, and we looked truly like we gave up.
Yeah, and there was a bloke in front of me that said, fucking hell, this is going to be another 9-0, isn't it? My fault. Yeah. God.
That's what we were thinking, too. We were like, oh, God, it's... You know, it's another 9-0, and I was at the Embassy Public House, which was a really nice place, first time there in Chicago. So thank you very much for hosting me. Looking at it and seeing it, we're like, oh, God, this is going to be so bad. And then we got one back, and then I recognized really quickly there, neither of them care. So no. It looks like it's just going to be a free-for-all, and all gas, no brakes, no defense, just vibes was our theme for the game.
Yeah, and actually, I don't often agree with Jurgen Klopp, but he hit the nail on the head when he said, we started well, we ended well, the bit in the middle was crap. And yeah, they were terrible. Defensively, Liverpool were shot. That was good. I don't care about that. But yeah, we did get one back, and Prowsey got it. It had to be Prowsey. Alcaraz made that happen, though, because that was great movement, great run with the ball.
Yeah.
One touch passing, and, you know, pick out Prowsey, who's just left alone. Not the cleanest of strikes. I mean, he's hit them a lot better than that. But, yeah, not the best defending again. But, I mean, Alcaraz, yeah, take a bow. Sulemana makes it 2-2. First goal for the club. Love it. Yeah, again, the movement and the passing was key there. And that was Lavia, wasn't it, I believe, that won the ball back. So, yeah, gets back in the... in the graces of the Saints fans there, and Walcott finds that final pass, and Sulemana's first touch, and it's it's 2-2, unbelievable.
It just makes me so sad that it's only towards the end of the season, when it's too late, that we see performances like that from Theo and from Sulemana.
But that, I mean, that might go back to what Tim was saying, that, you know, players, they just weren't really caring. I'm pretty sure if this was middle of the season, then Liverpool wouldn't have been given up just like that. Possibly Liverpool made us look better then, but yeah. But this place that you were at in Chicago, was there many Saints fans there? Because I can imagine it must have been just like a Liverpool fest.
Well, it's generally, when it comes to U.S. bars, unless you're very exclusive for one reason or the other, with Chicago, this was an eclectic mix. The owners were from Leeds, and so there's a bunch of Leeds fans, and there's a few Everton people there.
You had the full spectrum there then.
Yeah, there's probably like 12, 14, 15 Liverpool fans, and then Raul and I. So that's two of the four Southampton fans here in the city of Chicago. Because it was a dead rubber game, people were just kind of like, oh, whatever, you know, it's kind of fun. And even for us having the game on right in front of us, I mean, we were still pretty enamored by the Everton game in the background, at least initially with the Leeds game, but they went down 1-0 and never looked like they were going to be able to be come back from it.
Yeah, they were going down quicker than Kev's mum, weren't they? Sorry,
Kev. No, because we're sitting over there and like it's just an absolute goal fest. So people will start looking at us like, "What are you guys, crazy?" And we're like, "No, it's 20 minutes in and there's already been three goals scored." So they look at, they're like, "Oh, okay."
It was good. It was very good. But yeah, then after halftime, it just got better. It was great. It was so good to watch. Sulemana. Now, what about this one, Kev? I mean, picked it up in his own half and then just went. And that's what we've been missing, isn't it, all season? Some drive, some desire to get the ball moving and some purpose. And yeah, a great, great goal. Dare I say, it kind of reminds me of the Boufal against West Brom. Not quite as skillful, but you know what I mean.
Smacks of Letizia a bit. He's like Letizia on speed. Running practically the whole length of the pitch and then chipping it past Gallagher. Yeah, absolutely unreal.
Brilliant
guy. Again, where is this coming from?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it just Liverpool sitting off? I don't know. But yeah, you have to give us...
Looking to impress in front of a bigger crowd.
In front of Klopp. This is what I can do for you next season. I'll get you back in the Champions League. Yeah, there was a moment when Elianusi come off in the second half and he's saying his goodbyes and he's getting hugged on the pitch. And then Jordan fucking Henderson. Oh, what a piece of shit. Did you see that?
No. What's this?
Oh, Elianusi's gone off. And as he's walking off, he's getting hugged by Ward-Prowse and he's getting hugged by Walcott. I think they're just saying, this is his last game and all that. Jordan Henderson walks up to him and pushes him just as if to say, get off the pitch. It's like, no, I think if that had been James Milner at Anfield, do you think he would have done that?
No. Or Firmino, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. And I just thought, I never miss an opportunity to stick the boot in Jordan Henderson. But yeah, he's just a piece of shit. And then it was even better when Adam Armstrong scored we gifted Liverpool a goal, didn't we? The first one. And then they nicely returned the favour and it was Jordan Henderson. Just passed it straight to Adam Armstrong. And again, one thought in his mind, he was just like, I'm going to score here. And he's just gone with it. And left foot as well. I think that's just an underrated finish there because that was really good from Armstrong.
Yeah, karma with Henderson dodgy first. Yeah, just the way you can dribble it that far past their defence and roll it straight in from the edge of the box. It was absolutely marvellous.
When he shot, I thought, oh my God, why is he shooting that? He could have gone a little bit closer, but no.
Yeah.
I don't think your namesake in the Liverpool goal had... I don't really think he had a very good game.
No, not really. That was like his first touch of the ball as well. Don't you just literally come on the pitch?
Tim, we're 4-2 up and then we drop completely. Liverpool scored twice. What happened?
If you look at the goals, especially the third one, where the run-up, where the Gakpo. There was just some really sweet... Gakpo was a finish, but everything was the lead-up to it. And it was just absolutely gorgeous that, even if you were not in the end of the season mode, that was absolutely fantastic. So, just the 1-2 pass and the flicks over the top, we got caught out. And then after that, we truly then gave up and it was just 4-4. And we're all sitting there and I'm like, there's a couple shots towards the end, like the Salah chip that almost went in.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, the post, yeah.
Yeah, we were thinking, I was talking to a few of the Liverpool fans, and we're like, this game does not deserve a winner. This game deserves a draw, and just the end of the season, it doesn't matter, but it just feels right to not have a winner for one person or the other, and it felt right.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Jota goal, the equaliser, his second goal. Tim, did you pick up anything in that build-up?
Yeah.
I don't know how you saw it, because I thought there was a handball. And I think it might have been Trent over by the side. The ball hits his knee and it goes up and hits his hand. Everyone in the stadium shouts and stands up, it's handball. But yet they let the play go and then Jota finishes it. And I thought to myself, okay, this is fine because VAR are going to take this one back and strike it off. But they just, no one seemed interested. And I was so disappointed with that because I was sure that there was a handball in there. And I've looked back at the highlights and I'm not, you know, I can't get a decent angle on it. So I'm not sure. I don't even know if they even looked at it on VAR.
Well, yeah, I think VAR just decided not to play today and not to even show up because...
Getting us ready for next year.
Well, yeah. Did you see the Bree in the first half? Did you see the Bree tackle? That was in the 18 yard box where Bree basically tackled whomever it was there right inside the 18, and like I was sitting there, I'm like, that's I'm sitting there like that's a penalty, like like he straight up just kind of like wrangled him down, and you get through it, and the ref's just Joda's yelling at the ref, and the ref's like, no, that's good, play on. And so I recognize
is this
like,
the one that Lianco got involved and he sort of like shoved him?
Yeah,
we were just screaming at Jota to get up because I didn't think there was anything in it. I mean, obviously, if I'd looked at it on different replays, I would have maybe had a different view of it.
Yeah, Bree totally kind of just wrapped him up. So
good.
I basically, if you want to call it like, you know, the equalness of it, like we could have gotten away with that. We definitely got away with that one, and if they got a handball, so be it. We made the game look good, everything looked good, but
that's what VAR were thinking, maybe. Yeah. Kev, there was a moment, right, that James Ward-Prowse got subbed off in the 87th minute for Sam Amayar, which he made his made his debut, of course. Sayers insisted that it wasn't a goodbye, and he said he deserved that moment with the crowd, and he said it was just the end of the season thing, and he said we didn't think of what happens next. I don't think you're fooling anybody there, Ruben. I think that was definitely his chance for Prowsey to say goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, only Prowsey really knows at this point. I think everyone understands that it's probably going to end here for him.
Yeah, I guess it's just the ball's in Prowsey's court, isn't it? It's kind of like, yes, he's going to go, but he's not had an offer. If they make an offer, then he'll go. But at the same time, he can't speculate and say, yeah, I'm going to Newcastle or I'm going to Liverpool, whatever, because you know there's nothing concrete yet. So I do think that was Ruben just saying, yeah, come on, everybody on your feet and clap him off.
Yeah, no one would begrudge him the move. Say about the substitutions that they came too little, too late. Adam Armstrong came on and made a difference. Okay, great. And Stewie came on and okay, didn't make that much of a difference. But yeah. I think at that point, you even in this dead rubber of a game, you want to show that we can do the spectacular 4-2 up at home, and you wait until the last few minutes to get your other players on.
Yeah,
I think
I think he was thinking he wants to give Ballard, Amo Amayar, and Cammy Doyle some time, but at the same time, there's a chance to win this game. He doesn't want to take too many risks. But at that point, it was just like, this is all Liverpool and this is only going one way. Can I really afford to be taking off my best players and put these youngsters on right now? Because if that went completely downwards and we ended up losing it 5-4, then that would have been totally on Ruben Sayers, wouldn't it? Just you haven't managed that game at all.
I mean, Sayers was on that. He could have gone to five back.
Yeah, because that works so well, doesn't it? and that was it, 4-4. And it's still only two wins on the season. Do you know who those two were?
Chelsea.
Leicester.
That's the last time we won. Anywhere. Yeah, it was the Leicester game. But yeah, I tell you, we really, really needed that one. But alas. Kevin, do you have any stats?
Again, just the usual. We had 15 shots to Liverpool's 30, can you believe it?
Jesus Christ. 15 shots, though. That's pretty good going.
Yeah, and 10 of those were on target, which is more than Liverpool's 8.
8 on target from 30.
Yeah, it just shows how much we limited them. What other stats do you want?
XG?
I don't have XG.
Okay, do you want to have a guess then?
About 1.8 for us and 3.8 for Liverpool.
That's spot on. Well, I've got 1.8 for Saints, 3.9 for Liverpool, but yeah, still. Yeah, you face 30 shots and 8 of them on target and 4 of them have gone in, so 3.9, I suppose. Yeah, but a 4-4 still. Tim, man of the match.
Sulemana.
Woo! Yeah, I'm gonna double up on that. Sulemana for me too.
It's an easy choice.
Kevin, you going to make it a hat trick?
Yeah, absolute no-brainer. Wonderful, wonderful game from him. Two brilliant goals, played a part in the others too. Well, not the last one, but the first one. Got off 5 shots, 3 on target. So, yeah, super, 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 super game from him. Hopefully we can keep hold of him for next season.
Super Sulemana, there we go. Going
to Camaldinho, as he's known.
Is he?
I think that's his Twitter handle, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's good. That's cool. Yeah, there's no game to preview, obviously, because we're done now. So, we get the summer off. So, woohoo. But we have got a few things to go over, like the Discord, Super 6 Fantasy Football, and we got these winners to announce. So we'll start with the Discord. Do you know there was only one person that came up with points in that Liverpool game? Do you know who it was, Kev?
Moi.
It was. You were the only one that went for a draw. Everybody else was going for a Liverpool win. If only you would have gone 4-4, Kev, then you would have finished third. But as it is, our top three. Dan Fox was third with 55 points. Alex Haas was second on 56. But our winner is Frederick Lazaro on 60. So, yeah, that was fun. Thanks to everybody for playing. It was good fun. And if you do want to enter this next season, then you have to join our Discord. It's free, so don't worry. Everything is free. It's all for fun. But, if you want to join the Discord, then just get in contact with us on email or through social media, and we'll get you hooked up so you can take part in that Discord predictions next season. Super 6, then. Two rounds to go over. Round 56 was won by Tom Hennigan with 12 points. Round 57 was won by Adrian Gelder with 12 points. But the overall winner, Jason Braganza, he wins the Super 6 with 492 points and just two ahead of Gavin Burgess. Congrats to Jason.
Nice. Lovely.
Exactly. Lovely. Thank you, Nathan Jones. Fantasy football, Kev.
Could we start with Tim? Because he had his big, big final, and I'm rearing to hear how that went for him.
Yeah. I am too, actually.
And congratulations to Dan Buck, who beat me.
Yay! Well done, Dan.
Mm-hmm. So, 71-65, beating us absolutely Fabregas.
I hope you're listening, Dan. Well done for winning the cup.
If I only started Trossard instead of Mitoma, I would have won.
I started Trossard, but yeah.
Congrats to him.
How about the rest of the league, Kev?
For the Podders, I eventually finished fourth. Yeah, my is that a Champions League spot? Or can we have that with 10 in our league? I don't think so.
Top two, I reckon.
It's going to be like the Scottish League. I'll be in the Europa Conference then. Tim finished third out of our podcasters.
Well done, Tim.
Tizard in second. Oliver Boast absolutely ran away with it, although it ended up a bit closer than it was before. Own 27 points in it. Oliver Boast, well done. The cup, the Podcasters Cup, was won by Harry Tizard, who beat Oliver Boast in the final. It's like a charity shield of a match. And in our big league, I finished 44th. Not my best or worst season. Third, Marlon Ailing Allen ain't here. 2,570. Second place, Dan Buck. Absolutely Fabregas. 2,581. Had a fantastic final week to jump right up the league. He was only 1 point behind Chris Andrew.
Yeah, I see. Wow.
Yeah, 1 point in it.
That's
so
ridiculous.
It is, yeah. But congratulations to Ambrosinho. I think he spent most of the season on top and has managed to put down a late challenge from Dan Buck. So congratulations.
Where did you finish in that number podcast league, Tim?
I finished 20th.
Wow.
20th. That's good.
Yeah. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Very, very good. And Kev, where were you again? Sorry.
44th.
I was 75th.
20th out of 111 people.
75th out of 111. Is that relegation?
No.
No.
You're the last you're the last 21% or so.
I did an Everton. I scraped it. What about the draft league? Do you have any news on that?
Oh, God, I've forgotten about that.
I've actually destroyed everyone.
Of course you have. Well, I didn't pay any attention to
probably the only one.
Them,
yeah, I've forgotten about that.
There's only four of us in that, isn't there? So I'd probably finish fourth. But,
yeah. I finished second.
So it's just between me and Alex then, for sorry.
Yeah, Alex was last.
Hey! I didn't lose one thing. Tim, and also, what about our championship draft? Do you have the results there?
Yeah, I did it with like 4 weeks to go, and I was absolutely destroying everybody. So yeah. I'll run the numbers again really quick, but I'm guaranteeing that I've beat you guys. Well, the reason is
you're doing a Mark Messier. You guarantee a victory.
Well, I had Burnley, Luton, Millwall. Let's see. Yeah, so I had Burnley, wow. Luton Town, Millwall, and Sheffield United on my team. So
you had
it was
all
like,
the three people that went up.
Yes, I had all the three people that went up. So it wasn't even close.
Bastard. I took Coventry, I think. So.
Yeah. Well, yep. You took Coventry. So.
Okay, that's cool. Right, guys, where am I? Clue number one, then, for this is an English stadium, so Tim gets a first guess. This stadium is located 126 miles from St. Mary's. For 5 points, Tim, where am I?
Home Park.
No.
What was it last week?
Swansea.
Yes, okay. 126 miles.
Yes.
Are you in Northampton?
No. Bit closer than that, isn't it?
I don't know.
Clue two for 4 points. 97 miles from St. Andrews, Birmingham, not Scotland.
King Power Stadium, Leicester.
No. This is where Kev's going to guess it, isn't it?
Are you in Cambridge?
Oh, fuck off. How the fuck did you get that?
Because it can't be in Wales, because it would be further away from St. Mary's, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be the other way.
Yeah, well done. I'll read the other clues just because I took time to do it. So, clue three for 3 points. A county town approximately 55 miles north of London. And clue four for 2 points. Finished just 2 points above the relegation zone of League One this season. And the last clue for a point. A university town situated on the River Cam and annually competes in the university boat race. Yes, it's Cambridge United. What's the name of the stadium, Kevin? Tim should get this.
Fisherman's Friend Stadium.
No.
No, I have no fucking clue.
It's named after your wife.
The most beautiful girl in the stadium?
She clearly listens to this podcast.
It's just the Abbey Stadium. But yeah, I thought you'd get that from there. But yeah, Cambridge United, Abbey Stadium. So yeah. Okay. Yeah, that just leaves us with next week. We've got our end of season awards to give, the Shitners. So yeah, dust out your tux, guys, and we'll go through the awards. That should be fun. We'll also award our player and goal of the month for May, and then we'll just do a review of the season that was, if you can bear it. But yeah, stay tuned to our socials in the coming weeks, because we have some giveaways in the off season. So yeah, stay tuned for that. So until then. Up the Saints.
Up the Saints. Ah, lovely.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.
Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.